This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture with me, Dashrin Johan. It's World Children's Day today, and in conjunction with that, I'll be speaking to Nurul Rifaia, a 17-year-old who won Best Debater at Debate on Parliament while she was the youngest participant there. She's also worked with Undi 18 and UNICEF and is very passionate about education reform. I'm very, very excited to speak to her. So joining me on Skype right now is Nurul Rifaia. Welcome to the show, Rifaia. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. So first of all, happy World Children's Day. So thank you, Dashrin, for having me.
Thank you for agreeing to do this. Rifaia, let's turn back time to when you were a kid. How did it all start? Where does your passion for debate stem from?
Okay, I think it all started when I'm standard 3. That time I was 9 years old. So I'm not a prefect and I'm not a student who really, really passionate into this kind of activities such as, you know, debate, public speaking and so on. But I try to challenge myself. So during our school years, we usually have SMD on Monday, right? So I decided to volunteer myself to be an MC of the day. Everything went well and I don't know what happened on that day. So my mom just came by because I don't know. My mom came back early from her work and then she saw that I left my bottle at home. So she came to my school and she saw that I standing in front of the whole crowd. That was an eye-opening for her. I think it all started there.
You mentioned your mom. Tell me a little bit about your mom, your family. Did they have anything to do with this interest that you have developed over the years?
My parents don't have any idea what actually I'm doing. So my mom was like, just do whatever you want. Just enjoy your primary year and just, you know, enjoy being a kid. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my parents just support me all the way. Both of my parents are not a debater and both of my parents are not really an extrovert person. Both of them have two different backgrounds and I didn't follow any of them. I just be myself and I think I create a new identity of myself.
And how many siblings do you have? And also, do you come from a middle-class family where your parents were perhaps at work a lot? Tell me a bit about that dynamic.
I have two siblings. I have a brother. So my brother and I is in two different worlds. So my brother is introvert person. I am an extrovert person. So I love to go out and seek for people and, you know, build networking. So I come from a middle class family where my mom and dad are quite busy. So even during my primary years, every year I used to get what? You know, maybe top 10 in class or best subject. Because of my parents are so busy, they only have opportunity to attend once instead of 4 times. So yeah, but I didn't bother about it because, you know, your primary year. To me, academy is something that you should learn, but at the same time, you have to have a balanced life as well. You have to be a real kid.
Definitely. Tell me a little bit about your journey in debate. You developed an interest for it in Form 1, but how does one go from that to best speaker at Debate on Parliament?
When I was Form 1, I was in a private school. So as you all know that when we are in private school, we have various and variety of clubs and opportunities as well. So when I heard that that school offer debate club, so I was like, damn, you know, this is the time that I can learn more about politics, about what's going on in our country, and this is time where my journey is going to start being a debater. I really patient with my debate journey, and I found out that last year, I think it all started last year, the Debate on Parliament is something that, oh my god, I wouldn't dare. at first place, when I applied at the Batam Parliament, I didn't tell anyone. I didn't tell my mom. I didn't tell my dad. So when I received the email, confirmation email that I have been accepted to be one of the speaker, so then only I told my mom. I was like, mom. So my mom was like, go ahead. You know, obviously my mom will support me all the way, but she didn't have time to come to Penang. So she just watched me live on TV.
And how did you feel winning the best speaker title?
The best speaker title, to me, is something that, it doesn't mean that I didn't do any mistake. It's something that, even though you are young, but it doesn't mean that you can't do anything that others do. I mean, such as, even though you are just 16 years old, doesn't mean you can't compete with others who are much senior than you.
And apart from debate, for International Children's Day last year, you participated in UNICEF's Kids Take Over Parliament. Tell me about this. It sounds so interesting.
Right. Okay. So I think it all started in I think it's not August or September. I forgot already. So UNICEF posted on their IG, on their Instagram, from thousands of applications, they only select around 40 students from it. So from these 40 students, they only selected 15 students from it. So these 15 students will present in Parliament to talk about anti-bullying act. So at that time, it was a year ago, exactly a year ago, 20 of November 2019, in front of Dr. Wan Azhar. That time she was the Deputy Prime Minister. So we present about anti-bullying. And that time was my first time knowing UNDI-18, Project ID.
Ah, okay.
So yeah, I was networking from it. So that time was my first time knowing Dharma and Kira, founder of UNDI-18.
Yes. And you're speaking of that. In fact, the person who recommended that I speak with you today is one of the founders of UNDI-18, Kira.
Hi, Kira.
Tell me about it. I'm sure she will be listening. You said that you met them during the UNICEF Kids Takeover Parliament. What was that interaction like, and what excited you about UNDI-18?
You know, before we having this thing in Parliament, we're actually having a session with UNDI-18. I found that UNDI-18 is an interesting thing. You know, even though you are young, but you have your rights. Even though you are young, but you can speak up, voice out. So that time was my first time falling in love with UNDI-18. UNDI-18 is really passionate about youth itself. And UNDI-18 give me, I can say, a big opportunity lah.
Speaking of UNDI-18, right? UNDI-18 is, of course, the youth advocacy group that pushed to lower the age of voting in Malaysia from 21 to 18. Do you think it's important that people get to vote at 18?
Of course. You're already adult. Okay, when you're 18 years old, you're a legal person already. So you can drive a car, you can get your license, you can go wherever you want, and you're already adult. So, I mean, you're rational enough to do, you know, to have your own decision, to have your own sense. So I think when you're already 18 years old, you should vote, because that is your responsibility. I mean, I have a senior when she's 19 years old, she's getting married. But
you can't vote.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make sense, right?
It doesn't. Yeah. You're absolutely right. When did you become interested in activism and advocacy?
Oh, I think it all started last year. I have this one opportunity to show myself, to go out, and I realized there's a lot of people that need hand, and there's a lot of people that need our help, and there's a lot of people that doesn't get an opportunity like we supposed to get, such as, you know, good quality of education, such as, you know, some of my friends didn't have money to eat. It's my responsibility to, you know, you can't just change everyone in the world, but at least I can help my friends that need my help. So it's all started there.
What I'm curious about is this idea of the youth becoming more in tune with politics, with social issues, with current affairs. Do you notice, is that really the case in your high school classes when you go for tuition, for example, extracurricular mm-hmm. activities? Are the 17-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds, are they very interested in current affairs and politics?
Okay, some of my friends, yes. Most of my friends, they're not really, really favor about politics. But if you want to talk to them about politics, yes, they are open-minded. So I think, yeah.
And do you think it's important for more young people to be more conscious about not just politics per se, but also about social issues that are going on in the country?
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, if we look at bullying cases, right? There's so much thing that we need to change, especially the law, you know, the specific punishment that the bullies should get. And then not just about bully when it comes to, you know, a woman and racism that's going on right now. So I think we should be aware with what's going on in our country.
I also know that you're part of Project 57. Tell me a little bit about this project and why you decided to join it.
Project 57 is a movement of hope. Project 57 shared the vision of our first Prime Minister, which is Tunku Abdul Rahman. And the vision is our future depends on how well many different kinds of people can live and work together. So they aspire to create a movement of hope of 1 million rakyat Malaysia. And yeah, 1 million rakyat Malaysia that proud to be a Malaysian and standing together in unity. It's all about unity, actually. So 100% profit go to empowerment of orang asli, youth, and helping the underprivileged.
All right, there's so much more for us to talk about. But first, we do need to go for a quick commercial break. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Dafrin Johan and I'm joined on Skype by Nurul Rifaya, a 17-year-old debater and activist who has agreed to come on the show today to share her journey, passion and what drives her, all in conjunction with World Children's Day. So let's now talk about education reform, because it is, as you mentioned, something you're very passionate about. I read an article you wrote for Malaysia Kini a few months back.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was very well written. And in the article, you talked about why we should stop using the same old way of grading people based on you know, essentially memorizing textbooks.
Precisely. So
what would you say is the problem with education in the country?
First things, I always ask to myself whenever I went to school, which is, tell me school, are you proud of the things that you have done? I mean, turning thousands, millions of students into robots. Yeah, for me, till now, the education system, there's no different from during my mom's time. For example, students who excel in their PT3 exam will straight away go to science stream or science classes. No doubt. Now, I mean, now in that shape and literally more than a century, nothing has changed yet. I mean, there's nothing. Just still the same. School were made to train people to work in, I mean, factories, which explains we need to raise our hand if we want to speak, have a short break to eat for 6 to 8 hours a day, tell us to think, and lastly, make us compete to get an A. I mean, A determines product quality. You know, smart student doesn't mean that you can excel in your exam. So sometimes I used to get failed. Sometimes I think I already used to get a red pen in my report card. So we don't need to make robots. We need people who can go out, who think creatively, innovatively, critically, independently, you know. So then only you can survive in the real world. The best president, U.S. best president, I mean, George Washington, Abe Lincoln, and also Thomas Edison, Ben Franklin, all of them have zero education between them. Our education system is something that we need to change.
So we are talking about a problem here. So now let's switch gears a little bit and talk about solutions. What sort of reforms would you like to see in our education system? Or better yet, maybe you can sort of paint a picture of your ideal education system. What would that look like?
My ideal education system, really hope if Malaysia can use, Malaysia can change our education system like Finland, because they are doing impressive thing. I mean, they have shorter school days, teacher make a decent wage, homework is non-existent, and most importantly, they focus on collaboration instead of competition. So, but I mean, look at them. Their education system outperforms every other country in the world. So, I mean, yeah, maybe our student population is just around 25 to 30%, but they're 100% of our future. So, let's attend to their dream.
What do you mean by collaboration instead of competition?
Learn how to meet others, learn how to build networking. I mean, learn how to connect the dot, not how to draw a dot. You know, when you are in class, I mean, when you are in class and then you have friends around you, you have to learn how to communicate with them, not how to look forward into their weaknesses so that you know where you can beat them so you can be on the top of the class. I mean, there's no competition in education. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to worry about your ranking. You don't have to worry if you fail this one particular subject, you will move into another class. I mean, that's a competition. A collaboration is when you are together in this, you are, you know, to, not just together, you are in this with your teacher, as a teacher, and then learn how to make a new friend, learn how to build networking, and then go out, do more, much more explore in outsider, go out, meet people who are somebody. I mean, nowadays, kids are tend to have a competition with others. I mean, I used to with my friend. Every time exam, oh, apa keluar ni? Oh, and then sometimes like, oh, I know that you will never get number one in class because your BM is so I mean, that thing will come out from your mouth. I mean, not just that. Even every time in exam, during an exam month, the question that normally students going to ask is this going to be on the test? Is this going to came out on the exam, right?
Yeah, so the question, you know, always becomes like, how do I score good grades
exactly.
for my exam?
Exactly.
Instead of, how do I gain knowledge in this subject?
There's two different between the smart people and who can score better.
But there are those who would argue with you and they would say that, you know, competition breeds excellence.
Competition is something, because competition is good, you know, but are we really been taught on how to handle our stress? Are we been really taught on how about depression and anxiety? I have a depression and anxiety, but I see my doctor every month and I think my doctor knew me really well. But do we ever thought about this? No, right? Not even once. We've been taught about how to handle your stress, how to manage
exactly.
your depression, how to manage your anxiety. There's no education about that. So then you want to speak about competition? I mean, that doesn't make sense. So yeah, I've been struggling with depression this year, to be honest, because my mom just passed away last June due to breast cancer.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
It's okay. I'm good. I learned how to handle my stress. I learned how to handle my depression and anxiety. Not because of I have an education about it. I managed to handle it because I have a doctor who always there for me. A doctor who, you know, tell me what to do, tell me what you don't have to do, and she's always there for me. I think I learned from her, not I learned from the school.
So you mentioned stress, anxiety, and that to me, you know, it really sums up 2020. It's 2020 in a nutshell.
Yes.
And you're 17. So my mom's a teacher and she has been complaining this entire year about how her students are very, finding it very difficult to cope with online classes. We have news about how exams are getting postponed. what has 2020 been like for you? When will, first of all, and when will you be sitting for your SPM?
When? I don't know. That's it. I mean, 2020 is quite happy for me because at first I moved school this year. I changed to a government school this year from private school. So to me, it's quite hectic because, you know, a new environment, new friends and new teachers as well. And then, when the 2020 kick off, I think the COVID is already started, right? In March, there's a lockdown. And to me, I'm enjoying. I'm enjoying myself, to be honest. At first, I enjoyed myself. And then when it's April, May, my mom is not feeling well. She cannot sleep. And so I remember my mom is already sick at that time. So I think I'm quite busy, you know, taking care, took care of my mom. And then, yeah. So this is quite hectic for me, lah. I mean, my mind is really, really tired, not because of COVID or so on, but I'm really tired because of I don't have time to spare for myself at that time. So when my mom passed away, I think I have to rebuild myself. So I joined Project 57. So I think talking about SPM, I don't know.
Are you and your friends worried about it? Like, how did y'all deal with the news of the postponement of SPM?
None of other batches having this kind of problem, right? So we are a unique batch that, you know, going through this and then SPM being postponed and then you don't know how SPM is going to look like, right? Maybe not just 1 meter from table to table, maybe just 2 meter, who knows? So, I mean, just enjoy while you can.
You really have a very optimistic view of life,
don't
you?
I mean,
don't
focus something that ahead of you. Focus something that right now. What you want to do right now. Okay. This thing doesn't make me move forward. Next. This doesn't make me think positive. Okay, next.
But what's next after SPM? Have you thought about your career path? What you'd like to study? Which field you like to work in?
Okay, I think after SPM, I'm looking forward to do a paid internship. Maybe I'll go to pre-uni in what? I don't know yet. Maybe science, politics or law. I'm not a person who always write down what I really want to do or I want this, I want that or I want to be this. No, I'm the type of person who is, you know, what's going on right now is just do it. Okay, don't think too far. Okay, take one step in one time. So talking about SPM, okay, first thing first, I need to finish my SPM. Then what comes after, then we think after.
Before we wrap this up, Rifaya, do you have a message for younger people who might be listening, people in high school, people in primary school maybe, who might be listening to this show? What do you do when, especially like people right now who are in their SPM, what do you do when you're facing moments of doubt or uncertainty about the future? You're not sure what ambition, you don't have an ambition, you're still unclear about which field you'd like to go into. How do you help yourself figure that out?
Okay, first thing first, I think we need to calm down and it's okay. And just own the moment because this is part of life. This is part of your journey. Don't think too far. Just take one step in one time. Just focus on your SPM first. Then only you think about what you want to do next in your life. Because in this arena, I know that a lot of my friends suffer depression, anxiety as well. So focus, don't push yourself to the limit until you don't have time for yourself. Put your mental health first because that is very, very important. I mean, you can consult with your teachers. I think I'm very grateful because I have wonderful teachers around me. I have a teacher where I used to steal his food without asking his permission. He even cooked ketam masak lemak for my mom when he knew that my mom was sick. And then I have a teacher where I can just tell everything about myself, even though it's going to be a late night call. And I know that she's very, very exhausted with her daily routine as a teacher. And then I have a teacher where I used to lepak malam. I used to go to NZ Curry House. And then I have a teacher where I used to plan my friend's birthday party with her. And she is the, I think, one of my best class teacher, especially during our PT 3 year. She always there for us. She always support us and having our back. So I think you can consult with your teachers, because sometimes your teachers know you better than yourself, because they are the one that who always there for you, especially because like we spend our life mostly in school, right? So maybe your parents and your teacher have two different of perception about you. So go consult with your teacher. And I, like I said, I'm very grateful because I have a wonderful teachers around me. And dear teachers, I know who you are, and wherever you are right now, I just want to know that I love you guys so much, and thank you for everything. Even I know that a bunch of my teachers create a good WhatsApp for me when they knew that my mom was sick, just to support me. Thank you so much, teachers, and you're always in my prayers. So I love you guys.
I think that's absolutely wonderful. Rafia, do you also think that putting yourself out there and taking part in debate, activism, advocacy has helped you get a sense of what you want to do in the future?
Definitely. Because like I said just now, if you go out and you meet a lot of people, you will really, really know who you are. You actually know that, oh, you actually can do this. Oh, you know, people can easily get along with me. It's because of you know where is your capability and you know where is your weaknesses. I mean, if you have opportunity to go out, you know, to enjoy and to be participate in those kind of activities, NGOs, exchange program, go ahead. If you have your parents' support, go ahead. Don't think about what others gonna say about you. Don't think about others. Or don't think about, oh, I'm not good enough. No, just go. This is your life. You have long way to go. So don't waste your time. Just enjoy your life.
I think that is absolutely fantastic. I wish you good luck for your SPM, all your future endeavors.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me today.
All right. Thank you, Dashrai, for having me.
I've been speaking with Nurul Rifaya, a 17-year-old debater and activist who, in conjunction with World Children's Day, shared a passion for debate, activism, and if she feels doubt or uncertainty about a future. So if you missed any part of this conversation or any previous Live and Learn episodes, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or even subscribe to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Just search BFM Live and Learn. On a separate note, on our Health and Living show this month, we are also highlighting men's health issues in conjunction with Movember. Next Monday, we'll be discussing the importance of research in improving outcomes for prostate and other urological cancers. We'll also be finding out what kind of research Malaysia has produced and what challenges lie ahead. Joining us on that conversation will be Professor Dr. Ng Chuk Jen, Deputy Dean Research from the Faculty of Medicine, University of Malaya, and Professor Dr. Ong Teng Ai, Consultant Urologist from University of Malaya Medical Center. So be sure to tune in to Health and Living on Monday, the 23rd of November at 4 p.m. Once again, I'm Dashrin Johan, and this has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.